Lord. Go to Matthew. Yep. Okay, turn to Matthew 28. Brian asked me when I wanted to preach. I said, put me first. That way I can enjoy the rest of the time. I like to be first, that way I can get it over with, and also I don't have to worry that somebody took my verses. So I'll start with verse 19 on chapter 28 of Matthew. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Amen. You know, this is a mission conference, and this will be a mission message. But I want to go first by way of Peter. I'm going to make a little curve and go around and go through Peter's life and then come to my conclusion. Peter had heard the message over and over about that they had to go to all the world. And of course, sometimes it's a little disguised. But it seems like Peter, and the reason I chose Peter is because he's a lot like all of us. We need to be reminded. We forget. And I know that I'm a lot like Peter, and not that in the good things that he did or the outstanding things that he did, but on all the bad ones. Used to put his foot in his mouth, and that's just like me. The thing is that Peter, throughout his ministry, when he was with the Lord, he heard over and over that eventually they would have to go out into all the world, and that's what missions is all about. It's going out into all the world. It wasn't just about Israel. Even though the Lord had come only to the sheep of Israel, he had made it very plain and clear that their mission, once he would leave, it would be for the whole world. And you begin by, let me just point out to you on Matthew chapter 5, he had said that you are the light of the world. He didn't say the light of Israel. In other words, they were going to have to go to the world, and for the world to see that light, they were going to have to travel all over. So from there on, it was a big red flag that it wasn't all about Israel. They were going to have to go throughout the whole world. And later on in chapter 13 of Matthew, you will see where the Lord also gives some parables. He gives seven and talks about the ground, talks about the sower, and then he talks about the field, and then he tells them very plainly, the field is the world. In other words, it's not all about Israel. It's about the whole world. That's what missions is all about. And then in case they have forgotten towards the end, you'll find when they want to know what are the end times, what's it going to be like, what should we expect? And then he begins to tell them, first of all, take heed that no man deceive you. But then he goes on and tells them later on in that same chapter, the gospel shall be preached in all the world. So they had a lot of clues. And then, of course, this is towards the end when the Lord's about ready to go up to heaven. I'm not sure exactly when he really said it, but you see also in Acts chapter 1, you see where the Lord is going to be taken up, and he begins to tell him. And also he says, you're going to start first in Jerusalem, and then into Samaria, and then into the uttermost. That means the world. And of course, he had already given him the keys. He had told him in Matthew 16, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So Peter had tremendous responsibility. And of course, with the that's where it began. They began in Acts chapter 2. He began to preach after they had received the power from on high, which was the Holy Spirit. And what a tremendous message he preached. But you know, during that message, he also told the Jewish people in Acts chapter 2, when he's preaching and 3,000 people get saved, he also told them, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. He's preaching from Joel. He's telling them that it's not only about all you guys that are Jewish. It's also about the whole world. Whosoever means anybody. That means me. That means people from Mexico, from Poland, from anywhere. And of course, you know that Jerusalem had come in. All the Jewish people from all over the world had come in with all languages, and everyone heard them speak in their own language. But as you know, he began in Acts chapter 2, then he goes to Acts chapter 8. And in Acts chapter 8, Philip is preaching. And of course, when he's preaching, they're getting the gospel preached, but nobody's receiving the Holy Spirit. Peter hadn't arrived. So they called for Peter and John. And Peter went, he prayed that they would receive the Holy Spirit. He opened up the key again. He used it to Samaria the way God had told him. And of course, this is where Peter stops. He finished preaching to Samaria. What about the rest of the world? How about to the outer, where he had said Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the uttermost? What happened to the uttermost? He did what many Christians do today, what many churches do today. They don't go anywhere else. It's all about them. Peter, you can also say, he's just like all of us. Because that's what we all would do if somebody isn't preaching and telling you that we also have to go out to the whole world. So Peter decided, I've had enough. I don't need to go anywhere. I'm happy with all my Jewish friends. But this is it's all about my community. No more outreach. And that's what a picture of the churches today. No, he gets paid well, obviously, because he went on vacation to Joppa. And the thing is that there's no evangelization. Even though 3,000 had gotten saved here, 5,000 there. But that's it. But when he goes on vacation to Joppa, then you know the story, what happened in Acts 10. An angel appears unto Cornelius. They were Italians. In other words, they were from the uttermost. They were the Gentiles. And of course, they're being told, go and get somebody by the name of Simon, surname Peter. He's over here taking a vacation. Go and get him. And he's going to tell you words by which you can be saved. The angel could have told him, but God didn't ordain angels to preach the gospel. He left it up for us. It has to be men and women like us. That's what the Lord ordained. He could have very easily told him the gospel, but that wasn't to be. So Peter is over there. He's praying, and then all of a sudden he falls into a trance, and then all of a sudden God begins to speak to him, and he brings all these animals, and he tells them, Peter, get up. Kill and eat. And Peter decides to get out his race cart. You see that all the time. He said, wait, hold on. I'm Jewish. And of course, I've never eaten anything that's uncommon, anything that's unclean. And God told him that not to call anything uncommon that he has cleaned. That's what he says. on verse 14. He said, not so, Lord. And then on verse 15, and the voice spake unto him again the second time, but what God had cleansed, call not thou common. He had to do it three times. What a shame. He had already been told over and over and over during the his ministry. He had been told right before the Lord left, you're supposed to go into all the world. That's what I just read a while ago. Go ye into all the world. What happened to Peter? The same thing that happens to a lot of Christians. They've hurt, but then they begin to relax. And then they don't want to go nowhere. They're very comfortable. And Peter had to be rebuked three times. And I think it's because we're so forgetful. That's why I think Peter is a lot, I'm a lot like him, because that's the same way I am. I'm forgetful. I need to be reminded. The first time it flies over me. Second time it flies by me. Until the third time it has to hit me right between the eyes. And Peter had to hear it three times. But it wasn't a test. It was just a reminder that because we all forget. You see, this is not, it's not only Peter, but all of us need to be reminded.
Amen.
And that's why we meet here once a year. We call the missionaries, but it's for them to be refreshed, but also for us to remember.
Amen.
And in case you're not supporting a missionary, you get to see them face to face, ask them questions, and then you ought to support somebody, or maybe all of them.
Amen.
And but you see, the thing is that Peter finally arrives at the house of Cornelius, and after he had contemplated on the vision that he had seen, he realized, and once Cornelius explained to him why he had been summoned to come over, then Peter right away, he says, he opened his mouth, and he says on verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And you know that is so true. The thing is that Peter had been respecting persons. And the thing is that we all do too.
Amen.
We like to hide it, and we like to say that we're not prejudiced, but we're also the same way. Peter is a picture of all of us. He was just being all Jewish. He was just being on their side. And of course, he goes on to tell him, but in every nation, he that feareth. So all of a sudden now he understands that God meant for all of us to go throughout the world. Or if you can't go, at least pray for the Lord of the harvest to send somebody.
Amen.
Support somebody else that's already gone. But the thing is that he understood here that it's all nations, all people. And you know, when it's all said and done and we're in heaven, the Bible says that we're going to be there with the multitudes from all over. And it's going to be people from all walks of life, from all, every nation, tongue, and people will be in heaven. That means that God is not a respecter of persons, and we shouldn't be either.
Amen.
But this is what we see with Peter. He says in every nation, but how soon we forget. Because Peter, he forgot all his knowledge. How come all the things that he had heard the Lord say, that the field was the world, go ye into all the world. You start here in Jerusalem, in Samaria, and into the uttermost. Over and over and over, and you still forget. Sometimes I think it's convenience. Sometimes I think it's laziness.
Amen.
But we all have to answer one of these days to the Lord. The thing is, he gave sermons, and on his sermons he preached, and on his preaching he was always saying, whosoever. So how can you forget? So if Peter Beloved, if he can forget and he can be prejudiced towards the rest of the world, where does that leave us?
Right.
Somebody who walked with the Lord, who heard him preach, who saw the miracles, who saw how that God had sent his son to die for the sins of the whole world, and yet he still forgets. And if he does, what about us? And you know, the thing is that you can say, well, Peter finally learned his lesson. But he didn't. What a shame. And sometimes we think, well, Peter did this and he messed up here and messed up there, and he did. And I don't like to pick on Peter, because that's like picking on me, because I'm the same way. We do the same thing he does. And many times people say, well, he denied the Lord. That's real bad. Yeah, it was bad, but to him it was a matter of life and death. What was happening that night? No wonder he rejected the Lord, because if he hadn't, they might have done the same thing to him. He didn't want to die. And when he gets to that point, then you don't know how you're going to react. So I don't want to judge him too hard. So to me, I don't look at it as a very bad mistake. But the one that happened here, and it's mentioned in Galatians, I'm going to Galatians 2. This is really bad. And this is a picture of me. I'm not talking about you. But you see, Peter had already gone through so much. He had even preached already at the council of in Jerusalem, where they met. You'll find that in Acts chapter 15, where he spoke. And the Bible tells you very clearly that Peter stood up and he said, of a truth, God had ordained it or predetermined that the Gentiles would hear the word of God from my lips and they would believe. So he knew he had to go to the world, that the gospel was for all the world. It wasn't only for Jewish people. But then he decided to leave the Antioch church. The next thing you know, Paul has to come and confront him. And I just like to read to you from from Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. And when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of their circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas was also carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? That happens even today. There's people that they're not Jewish, but they want to compel others that have accepted Jesus to live as a Jew. Let the beards grow. Act like Jewish. The thing is that that's what Peter was doing. He belonged to the party of the circumcision. They were confused. And they were thinking that you needed to be a Christian or a Jew first before you become a Christian. They also were teaching that you needed to be circumcised to be saved. Everything that was wrong, they were teaching it. And Peter belonged to that group. And he was taken away with the dissimulation. And he had to be confronted. And the thing is that when I see this, I say, oh, Peter, how bad of you. In other words, I look at this as a very big mistake. He's compelling the Gentiles Christians to live as Jews. That's why he was withstood to the face. But you know, my friend, we all have prejudices.
Yes, amen.
You might not want to admit it. It's Amen. Never going to be erased.
Amen.
You love your race. You love your neighborhood. I grew up in a neighborhood. It was all Hispanics. That's all we spoke was Spanish. And so this is who I love. This is who I cared for. And but the thing is, that's everybody. We get to be just like Peter. He was Jewish. He was always with the Jews. And the thing is that he didn't want to go to the Gentiles anymore. He wanted everybody to live just like Jews. And the thing is that it angers me every time a soldier is killed here in America. Just like a few days ago, 5 of them got killed. It angers me because I used to be a soldier. And every time I see a policeman killed, it angers me also. That was my profession. When I was here in San Antonio, 12 of my friends got killed. When I hear them in New York, it don't matter where it is, it angers me. And you know the thing that comes to my mind right away, and it's happened many times, that's why I'm telling you, there's no difference between Peter and me. This is a rebuke for Peter, but it's a rebuke to me. Because when I hear somebody has killed some of these that I love, Americans, I'm an American, it upsets me. And the first thing I do is I think in my mind, okay, am I lock and loaded? Or my magazine's full? How come I don't pray for them? They're part of the world. How come I get angry? Didn't Jesus also tell us, pray for your enemies? There's no difference between Peter and me. He says, when they hate you and they persecute you, that's okay, bless them. They need to get saved. We are not to hate somebody just because they belong to this race or the other. It don't matter who it is. There's not much you can do anyway. Pray for them. If we can't go, that's okay. The Bible tells us, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he might send someone or a laborer to his harvest. It's his harvest. God died for the sins of the whole world.
Amen.
We are not to hate, and I'm telling you this because I know there's a lot of hatred right now. Everybody is buying guns. And I'm no different. When somebody at school, when I substitute, some of the kids ask me, "Where, Mr. Noyola, do you have any guns?" I got 4. You got any rifles? I got 4 too. I'm loaded. The thing is, I shouldn't even be thinking like that. I should be praying. We need to pray also that they also get saved. And Peter made a mistake, but it's actually to show us that we're no different. That's how we all are. This is a mission conference. This is a world evangelism. We ought to be concerned about everybody throughout the whole world. We got missionaries in Poland. We have them in Mexico. We have guys that go out here and ladies that go on the streets. They evangelize, and I'm thankful for that. We do that in the South Side. But the thing is that if you can't go, how about give?
Amen.
How about be a partaker with them? This is what the Bible teaches. I want to be a partaker of their labors. I want to receive also what they receive. If I can't go, I can at least support. And if we can't go to some of the other countries, like for example, Iran. Iran right now has many Christians. There's Christians in China, in all these countries that we have problems with. There's a lot of our brothers and sisters over there. And if we can't go, we can pray. We can send our bombardment of prayer. That's what the Lord says. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest.
Amen.
The thing is that We just don't know when everything will come to a stop. But you know, let me just tell you, I saw a movie some years ago, and when it ended, I couldn't get up. I was crying. It was about World War II. The name of it was Schindler's List. I don't recommend you see it. It's very graphic. But when it was all over, what made me cry, and I wasn't crying for all those that got killed. When I was in Germany as a soldier, I was 30 miles away from Dachau, where they killed millions of people. But Schindler was an industrialist, and he was saving Jews. He was buying them, hiring them, putting them to work. And when it was all said and done and he had all ended, I remembered him crying and saying, I could have saved more. That really touched me. Because now I was a Christian. It made me cry. I couldn't get up. But neither anybody in the audience, they were mostly older folks. I know they were crying too. And one day when I'm in heaven, I hope that I won't have to say those things, that I could have done more. When we walk out of that courtroom, when we've had the judgment seat of Christ, and all the things that we possessed and all the things that we valued so much, that God's going to have them on the wood, hay, and stubble categories that are just going to burn. And then when it's all said and done and I get to see, I might just say like Schindler, oh, I could have saved some more. And I'd rather bring you this message today so you don't have to do it.
Amen.
You can't go? How about here in San Antonio?
Amen.
You can't go across overseas to Mexico or Poland, rather. Or to Mexico, it don't matter. You can support our missionaries.
Amen.
The thing is that when you do, you're being a partaker of their labors.
Amen.
I recommend to you every single one of them. I know them. They're good, hardworking Amen. Christians that preach. I've preached with just about every one of them. Been in the streets with them. I know them very well. I recommend you support them.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen.